What's your name, hon? What's your name?
Shakira.
Did you hear what Shakira said? Said her daddy doesn't like church. Now, what do we do? Okay. See these empty pews? How come? Oh, yeah, really got a great crowd today, really, actually. Yeah. But how come? You know, like this morning in the early service, when we started this early service, I think about 3 years ago, we started with the first service, we had maybe 20 people there, and half of those were the musicians. You know, they were the ones that led us in worship. And we started that service because we had people that were a part of our church who, because of their work schedule, they couldn't, their work schedule, and because of Ravens games, you know, they couldn't come to church. I don't know why we are long-winded preachers, you know, every now and then, but, you know, they couldn't come to church. And so we started that early service so that they would have an opportunity to come to church. And then this morning we had more people, probably this morning, than we have here in the early service. Why am I saying that? You know, oh my goodness. Think about the world we live in right now. It is a mess. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to demonize society, and I'm not trying to, you know, but the world's a mess. It's an absolute mess. If you have any doubt, just turn on your television and listen to the political ads. Just listen to the political ads. You know, about what this guy's done wrong, why you shouldn't vote for him. You know, I mean, just watch our politicians. If there's any question as to whether or not our world's gone, is lost, just listen to our leaders. And if not the leaders, listen to the preachers. Okay, you know, why does he not like church? I'll tell you one reason why he doesn't like church, because we don't preach the word. Don't preach the word. You know what? Okay, Johnny, you got your Bible today? You have a Bible? Cliffy, you have your Bible? Way to go, Cliffy. Bring your Bible next Sunday. Okay? Why would I say that? Every one of our children ought to have a Bible. If you have a child that doesn't have a Bible, they need to buy a Bible. You need to buy it for them, I mean. You know, how you do it, I don't know. Buy them a Bible. But then what do? We don't leave it home. I'm not trying to, you know. You just have there on the front row. I mean, you know, what can I say? You know, so. Huh? They told you this morning to bring your Bible? He lost his Bible here? Oh, so you've lost your Bible? Johnny, something needs to happen with your allowance. Go buy you another Bible, doesn't it? No, what am I saying? Okay, what am I saying? Okay, why is it that a man doesn't like church? Well, I'll tell you one reason, because this is not preached. You know, I gave you statistics the other week. You know, and maybe you're thinking, you know, when am I going to get off these statistics? Well, you know what? When 49% of the preachers, they preach from a pulpit, do not, 49% don't hold to a biblical worldview. No wonder we have a problem. No wonder people don't want to come to church. You know, to be honest with you, what Cherry said today about checking off the box, I can't wait for Sunday. I can't wait for Sunday. I absolutely can't wait. Can't wait. You know what? I have the privilege of having a job that I could do if you didn't pay me a nickel. I would love to just keep doing it. You know, I don't do this because you pay me. That's a nice thing too. but I mean, I'm one of the blessed people who get to do what I want to do and know it makes a difference in people's lives, and then you pay me for it. I mean, well, how could it be any better? So, you know, why is it we don't like church? Well, you know, maybe I'll tell you another reason why we don't like church is because we think church is a place where you come and sit on your hands instead of clapping them. Or instead of praising the Lord. You know, if you look at the book of Revelation, you'll see scene after scene after scene, these people are worshiping the Lord like there's no tomorrow. And they got eternity. And they're worshiping the Lord like nobody's business. Well, how come? Why is it that someone comes in church and they think it's dead? Because the people are. You know, and so today we're talking about the Good Shepherd. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. What makes him good? What makes him good is what the sheep say. The experience of the sheep, that's what makes the shepherd good. Okay? And so if someone is not enjoying, if the pews are empty, where's the problem? Okay, am I saying it's a problem because of the person? Well, the problem is because of the church. It's just like, to me, it's a combination of the two. It's like, you know, on the one hand, when God's servants, when the clergy, when the ministers and prophets preach the Word of God's going to feed people. Then when the people, because they've been fed, what they do is they go out into the community and open their mouth. What happens? You go out to the community. You know, I can, it's only, you know, a preacher goes out, staff goes out, deacons go out, you know, and there's only, it's like, this is the army of the Lord right here. This is the army of the Lord. Okay, so you go out and you open your mouth. See, that's what the biblical worldview says. It says that each one of us, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the responsibility to share the message of the gospel. Now, why would we share that? Because it's good. Because it's good. You know what? If you in here because of duty. Now, I'll tell you, if you in here because you're young and mom and daddy said you come, hey, that's good. Okay? Because maybe the Spirit is going to shoot. He's going to shoot the Word of God right into your heart this morning. And if you're not here, you won't even have a chance. So, Good Shepherd, John 10. How do we know? On what basis do we have? You know, it's like, see, what Jesus is going to do is he's got the same, he's preaching to the same situation that I'm preaching to right now. That's what Jesus is doing. In the 10th chapter of John, he's preaching to the exact same situation. What's happened is in the 9th chapter, a blind man's been healed. And he's been healed on Sunday, or the Sabbath, rather. He's been healed on the Sabbath. And the religious leaders say that because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he can't be speaking for God. Because they had a rule, the religious leaders had a rule, the Pharisees had a rule that said you can't work on Sabbath. And here's how they interpreted work. Interpreting work was to heal a man who was blind. Can you believe that that was an interpretation of violating the Sabbath? To do good? I mean, a man is born blind. Can you believe how far the clergy had fallen away from God? If they were at a place where a man who's been born blind is healed, and all they can talk about is the fact that Jesus did it on a Sabbath. And they can't rejoice with a man who's been healed, who's been blind. Can you? No, you know, that would be a situation where we would say, who would like to come to church in that situation? When someone values the rule more than the rule maker, or more than the people that God came to save and the shepherd. Well, that's what happens. What the Pharisees do in the 10th, 9th chapter of John is because this man says, well, Jesus has got to be from God if he's healed my eyes. Well, what the Pharisees do, the scribes do, is they kick him out of church. They kick him out. They say, you can't be a part of this place. So what Jesus does in the 10th chapter of John is Jesus says, okay, I'm going to show you what a good shepherd is. I'm going to show you what the good shepherd is. I am the good shepherd. Okay, the sheep would be us. We're the sheep. Christ is the shepherd. And what he's going to say is, let me show you what a good shepherd is as opposed to a false shepherd, a false prophet. All right, you got the context? Okay, so see, if we can find out what the good shepherd says, if you can get under the voice of a good shepherd, you know what, that pew's not going to be empty. Now, what happens to me for a sermon I'm not one on long-range planning, as has been pointed out from time to time in the past. What I do is I go Sunday by Sunday, and I get a word from the Lord, and I'm right now in a place where my desire is to exalt Jesus. Every sermon, to exalt him, to lift him up. That's my whole purpose, okay? Well, I knew last week that I didn't want to leave John 10. A lot of stuff still in John 10. We saw last week Jesus is the door. Okay? If this sanctuary represents earth, this universe, on the other side, in the foyer, we're going to let that represent heaven. You got to get from this place to that place. How do you do that? You go through the door. Jesus Christ is the door. That's what we talked about last week. Well, now what John 10 says, Jesus is the good shepherd of the sheep. You're the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. What does the shepherd do? The shepherd provides care, provides food. You know, in the first century, they were out in dry areas, and unless those sheep had a shepherd, they would die. Literally, a shepherd's role was to provide sustenance to the sheep, take them to pasture, make sure they had food, make sure they had resources, protect them from pestilence, protect them from wild animals. You know, I mean, literally, sheep, what they would do is they'd get these parasites in their wool. And the parasites would literally just destroy them unless there was a shepherd to take care of the sheep and get the parasites out of the wool, the bugs, and so forth and so on. Well, that's what a shepherd did. He took care of the sheep. So in that day, in the first century, they pretty much knew what Jesus was saying when he said he's a good shepherd and the other guys are not the good shepherds. Now, to us, however, let me give you this illustration. At the beginning of the week when I knew I was going to talk about the good shepherd, what I do is I just sort of watch what happens during the week. Because I have found that God will oftentimes give me a word for you during the week and something that happens, and I won't be able to get it out of my head. Well, here's what happened this week, okay? And it's really amazing how many times the things that God gives me have something to do with dogs, because I'm not really a dog lover, okay? But I seem to always have illustrations filled with dogs, particularly when I had three, and I wanted to get rid of all of them. But anyway, but this is what I saw this past week. I think it was Monday, I was running on Greenway, okay? Now, if you know Greenway, it's got just a little bit of hill like this, okay? And I'm running up the hill going towards St. John's Lane. I don't know, about 7:30 in the morning or so, and I'm running up Greenway, and I see this little lady. She's every bit of 70 years old, okay? She's got long gray hair. I mean, just as wide as, and just as shoulder length, okay? She's got this old coat on and old clothes on, and she's all hunched over. She's, you know, and, you know, regularly I see her out there walking Greenway, okay? That's what she's doing. That's what she's walking. She's walking Greenway. And in her arms is a Yorkshire Terrier. Okay? Rarely do I see the Yorkshire Terrier walking. She's always got him right there in her arms. This little old lady, you know, 70 years old plus. I mean, she's probably 90. I don't know. But she's just like this. She's just like this. Okay? And that little dog is right there in her arms. And I'm thinking, I'm preaching on the good shepherd. Now, you think that dog knows who her shepherd is? You see, we have this. Why is it? Why is it? See, ain't nobody in that seat. You know, what's wrong? Do we understand who the good shepherd is? See, what happens to us is when the clergy don't know where the door is, don't know who leads us to God. So we've got all of these other doors out there. You can go this way, 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 you can go. Take your pick. Take your pick. Who's the good shepherd? Well, I don't know. I can't find. It's either this one or this one or this one. How are we ever going to know? How are the sheep going to know the way if the shepherd don't know where the door is? You think it matters? Does it matter whether I'm preaching out of this book? I've said it before. I'll say it again. If I don't get it out of here, leave. You should not be in here. If I am not preaching this book, don't sit another moment. Because I'll just lead you to where you'll be lost. Good shepherd. But then what happened was this. I'm running, and I pass the lady, and the dog's on a leash. And you know what I noticed about that dog? It's not like my dogs. My dogs, Tucker, put a leash on Tucker, and if you don't watch out, your arm's going to be pulled off. Okay? Because he's going the opposite direction that you are. That's the way, you know, I know that you're supposed to be able to train your dogs and so forth and so on. Tucker was a bull of a dog. And when he decided he was going to go somewhere, he was going to go somewhere. And then nobody holding him back. You just had to, you know, he just pulled you along. He was always fighting the leash. Okay? Now, maybe it had to do with sometimes I'd kick him from that time to time. But anyway, but, okay. All right, just stay with me. Okay. But he was always fighting the leash. Always fighting the leash. Not that dog. Hello, dog. You know, that leash is right there. He's just sitting right, you know, he's just doing his little business and the lady just sitting there just watching him. He's not fighting that leash at all. You know what? I started thinking about God's Word. What is it? Why is it? You know, we talk about the biblical worldview. Talking about Jesus being the good shepherd. If Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd is the one that knows how we receive food, and where we receive food, and how we get it, and how, you see, it's like this. You know, a shepherd can lead sheep to the pasture, but he can't make them eat the food. Okay? It's like he can lead them there, but he can't make them eat. Okay, when it comes to believers in Jesus Christ, we can teach the Word of God. But until you get it in your head and you decide you're going to follow it, you know what? It doesn't make any difference if I'm teaching it or not. Until you get it in your head and you decide you're going to follow it. See, what happens is God's Word is sort of like that leash, but it's not tangible. It's invisible. And when he talks about it being the good shepherd, what he's saying is he gives the Word. And what God's people do is they hear the Word, they listen to the Word, and they come under the Word. And when they come under the Word, it's like what they're doing is the good shepherd. They are following the good shepherd. So if you know the Word, and you listen to the Word, and you obey the Word, then what happens is, you know what, you experience the blessings of good shepherd. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay? And so, hey, the first question we got to address is, do you really see Jesus Christ as your good shepherd? Because until, see, what you do is you come under his Word. You're in some other field. You're not in his pasture. Okay, now look what he says in John 10. Look at verse 7. Look at what he's going to say. Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the way that you get on the other side. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Here's what Jesus is saying. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. All who come after me are also thieves and robbers. That's what he's saying in Matthew 24:24, where he talks about false prophets. He talks about false teachers. What Jesus is saying is, I am uniquely distinguished in human history. I am uniquely distinguished because I am the Son of God. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30 of chapter 10. Look at what Jesus says in verse 30. He makes a declaration. Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." Look at John chapter 8, verse 58. Look what he says there. Jesus says, he's saying to the Pharisees, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." What is Jesus Christ saying? How can he claim to be the good shepherd? How can he claim to be the one that you and I should listen to and submit to his word? It's because Jesus Christ is uniquely God. He is uniquely God in human history. There is no other one like him. No other one. He comes from heaven. He comes down from heaven to earth. He is God born in human flesh. That is his declaration. And because that is who he is, he says, "I am the good shepherd. All who come before me and all who come after me are thieves and robbers." They're thieves because, for example, and they're robbers because, for example, let's suppose Joseph Murray. Joseph, would you stand up back there in front of that door? Okay, Todd, how about do me a favor? See if you can get through that door with Joseph standing there. Okay, that's good. That's far enough. Okay, you see my point. Okay, Joseph is standing at the door. He's blocking the doorway. Okay, what he's doing is he's keeping Todd from getting through the doorway. In every human heart, there is a place reserved for Jesus Christ. When our culture, when teachers, when anyone keeps someone from giving God his rightful place in a human heart, they are blocking the doorway. They're blocking the doorway. Okay? And it's not just a person. When a habit, when a hobby, when something I do takes the place of God, what happens is that individual, that person, that thing, that something becomes a thief and a robber. When the church ceases to teach and preach the Word of God with authority, the church blocks people from coming through the door. And in that way, the church becomes a thief and a robber, and someone doesn't want to be in the church. Look at verse 10, John 10. Notice what he says. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Here's what Jesus is saying. The thief comes to steal, comes to kill, and comes to destroy. Now, let me make a statement. If you ever, and I'm making this statement in response to an epidemic of suicides in our land. An epidemic of suicides because of what people believe to be failed economic situations, the loss of jobs, the loss of homes, an epic of suicides there, and also an epidemic of suicides in our young people. I read recently of three young people who committed suicide because they were bullied because they had declared themselves to be gay. And people had bullied. That is against God's will. It is against God's will for you to bully someone because they think that their sexual orientation is towards someone of the same sex. That is against God's will. That is against God's will. Hear me saying that. To bully someone because of that situation is not God's will. It is also not God's will that same-sex relationships be accepted. Okay? I need to know the truth. The truth is what sets me free. But I don't use that truth to bully another person. Now, if I find myself in that situation or any situation like that, if I have a thought that death is an alternative to life, if I ever have the thought, whether it's from that issue that I just mentioned, that social issue, that gender issue, if I ever have the thought, hear me loud and clear, that death is a preferred alternative to life, you need to realize that Satan is whispering in your ear. It doesn't matter what the situation is. If that seems to you to be the preferred option, you have just been deceived. When he says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, Satan's objective is always destruction. Always, that's his destruction. That is his objective. It is amazing. Satan will tempt us down a pathway that is not God's will. Then once we go down that pathway, what will Satan do? He will say, I can't believe you did such and such. You should die. Take death. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. That is a better alternative to you. That is not God's will. Young people, children, hear what Pastor Kip is saying. Never, ever is that God's will. Never. So if that ever thought comes into your head, it is not of God. The thief, verse 10, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life It's amazing. The thief comes to take. Jesus comes to give. Satan will always take. He always takes. He steals something. He deceives. And in the process of the deception, he steals something that is not rightfully his. He takes it. He takes it away. He takes away the joy of the Lord. He can do that to a believer. How? I'll show you how. It's those empty pews. That's part of it. That's empty pews and preachers not preaching the truth. Now, I'm not trying to lift myself up and say, oh, I'm the only one. I'm not trying to say that. You know what? Because it doesn't have any difference. It doesn't matter who is the one that is saying it, as long as it is being said. You follow what I'm saying? I don't want you to hear me saying, oh, I'm just this great preacher and you know, I preach the word. I'm not saying that at all. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the word of God. Verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, behold, owner of the sheep. You see that? Who is not the owner of the sheep? Think of the little lady. Owner. You think that dog knows who his owner is? See, why is it we can't seem to understand about God's Word? We've lost our perception or our understanding, if we ever had it, that God desires a relationship with you that is a relationship that is founded upon commitment and trust and love and giving you absolutely everything. Absolutely everything that a loving father could give his child. Well, here's what happened to us. See, I got two images this week. One of them is that little precious little Yorkshire Terrier being carried by that woman. But there's another image I got this week in part of my studies. It comes in verse 12. It says, he was a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf. Beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. I did a little research on wolves. Wolves are social predators. You know what that means? That means they hunt in packs. Now, I don't want to make this image too real. A wolf hunts in a pack. Here's what I found. Problems come in packs. You know how that little saying goes? Says, when it rains, it pours. You know what that means? What that means is that problems follow problems. This past week, I had a bad day. You talk about a bad hair day. I had a bad hair day. Okay? You know, it's like the morning started. I had a problem here in the morning. I had a problem. I had problem after problem after problem after problem. By the end of the day, one of our church members, loving church members, said to me, Pastor, how's your day been? I said, I've had better. You know what? Here's what happens. You know, problems, what they do is they just start piling up. And they pile up. And they pile up. And then I read this about the wolf. The wolf is a social predator. You know what that means? It's like, why is it that the problems tend to pile up? Why is it they keep adding and adding and adding? You ever look at things like that spiritually? Have you ever looked at problems that they keep piling up and piling up and piling up? Because what's happening is Satan wants to wear me down. You realize how a pack of wolves kills an animal that is much, much stronger than a wolf? All they do is nip at the heels. They nip at the heels of the animal, and the animal begins to run. And what happens is the animal starts bleeding. You know, just these nicks on their feet. And the animal starts bleeding and they start running. And what happens is, because they're starting to run, all the wolf does is chase them. The wolf just chases them and they begin to bleed. And because their heart is pumping faster and faster and faster because the animal's running, what happens is the animal literally bleeds to death. and is rendered so weak that it can't even defend itself. It can't do anything. All that wolf's got to do is he comes into the flock, to the pack, and he scatters the flock. He scatters the flock and he isolates on one of the members of that flock, and he begins to nip at the heels, and the next thing he nips at the heels and just keeps just chases. You know what? You see these right here? See these empty pews? Why are these pews empty? I'll tell you why. Because the wolf is scattering the body of Christ. He's scattering the church. Now, how does the church scatter? I'll tell you how the church is scattered. When the people forget how to worship, they just go through the motions. Then what happens is one member gets upset at another member, and next thing we know, we have almost what we might call church abuse because not sexual abuse, I'm talking just abuse because something happens in the body of Christ. Someone gets upset about this thing, or they get upset about that thing, and the next thing they know, you know, somebody's gone. Why are they gone? But why? Well, you know, such and such, such and such. Or, you know, Pastor Skip didn't smile at me today. Or, you know, I'm serious. I don't mean to make light of that. I don't mean to like, but that's what happens. Who would think? Okay, you with me? I would sure think you'd be with me right now, but if you're not, you need to be. Think about it. You know what Satan would do? Satan's plan and his strategy is to first scatter the body of Christ. To put you in a mindset where you think you just need to check the box off. Just check the box. Or put you in a mindset where, you know what? I think what I will do today is I need more rest. I just, you know what? Sometimes, how many times I say the same thing? Okay, you know what? You know that Jesus said that song we sang a minute ago? You know how it comes from? It comes from Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Here's what the verse says. Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden." Says, "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is gentle." Okay? It says, think about that. Think what Jesus says. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Okay? You know, take my yoke upon you. What's that yoke? It's just like that lady's leash on that dog. Well, why in the world wasn't that dog fighting that leash? He said, well, that dog knew who her owner was. She experienced the love of God. I mean, the love of that owner. Okay, what, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? How in the world is it that when I need rest, what I need to do is I need to learn from God? Do you understand how that works? This right here is because people don't realize they need God. They need God and they need the church. You need one another. You need one another. People need one another. We need one another. That's who the body of Christ is. And Satan's plan is to scatter you. We can get scattered by any number of reasons, including just being so busy. But what is that? It's Satan nicking at your heels. I'm so busy, I can't find God. I got an email from somebody I didn't get an email, I sent an email. Oh. Lately, I've been doing lots of funerals. It's like, it's almost every week. And some people are in the church, some people are not in our church. And I tell you something, when you're a pastor, okay, I don't know how to say this. I don't know how to say it. I'm up on a pulpit, and I'm preaching the Word of God. Johnny, I'm not going to tell you again. I'm preaching the Word of God. And I look out into a congregation. And I see lost people. I can see them. And I tell them about the door of God. I tell them about Jesus Christ. I tell them about the food of Jesus Christ. I can tell I'm making a little, I can tell the Spirit of God's making a little progress. I can see that. And then I know. Well, I say in church on Sunday, it's going to be like a rock skipping across a pond. I did a funeral on Friday. And the last thing I said, here's what I said. I said, what would this dear lady who knows Jesus Christ and is now in heaven, what would she want me to tell you today? I'm looking out into the congregation. I said, she want me to tell you, number one, Jesus Christ is the doorway to God. Number two, you need to be in church on Sunday. Why would I say that? You know what? Because I care about you. I care about the people that are in these pews. I care about all these people. I care about those boys. I care about them. And you know what? Because I care about you, you know what? I'm gonna say, hey, you know what? Stand up right now. Stand up a little bit. Why do I care? Why am I going to say that at a funeral? You know what? There's a doorway. Why am I like? I know the Good Shepherd. I know He's a doorway to God. I know that. And I know Satan is like a pack of wolves. And what I have found is when he starts lapping at somebody's heel, here comes one problem. It's like problems come in clusters. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe it's a love problem. Maybe it's an addiction. It's like one problem after one problem after one problem. It's like they come in clusters. And what does Jesus Christ say? I am the Good Shepherd. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke and put it on you. And you will find rest. That rest, it only comes because you know the Word and you follow the Word. Jesus says, if you have my commandments, you will walk in my love because I am good shepherd. You know, I don't know where you are with Jesus Christ today. I don't know. But I do know one thing. If you'll come to Jesus Christ, you will experience abundant life. That is His promise. Let's pray. Father, Jesus is a good shepherd because He lays down His life for the sheep. It's pretty simple, Father. You establish a relationship by the sacrifice of Your only Son. Forgive us, Father, when worship is decided based on what we like or don't like, rather than our knowledge of what You have done for us. Father, forgive Your church for the empty pews. Forgive us, Father, for teaching the sheep, but the worship of God is only if it's convenient for you. Forgive us, Father, forgive us for giving credibility to the other doors by holding on to a half-truth. That Jesus is just one of many. I pray, God, we would be a church that is passionate about our love for Jesus Christ. I pray that we would be a church that is passionate about the Word of God. I pray that the Word of God would matter to us. That the worship of God would matter to us. I pray that we would know that to learn of God is to experience rest. Satan, Father, nips at our heels in the busyness of life, in job obligations on Sunday. In the recreation of the day. Forgive us, Father, for in so many ways we've lost our way. Oh, dear God, I pray in Jesus' name that we would honor the Son in this place. That worship would not be because we feel like it or because it's convenient. But may worship be because of what great things you have done for us. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I just ask you to examine your heart before God. Is He your good shepherd? Do you receive the food that He brings to you? Jesus, I pray you would reveal yourself to us in the way we are, in the way that we see you, in the way we relate to you. In this day, on this place, God, may we know the power of submitting to a holy, wonderful, loving God. It is in His name we pray. Hallelujah and amen. Go ahead.